talk on stand. So in honor of reading the word of the Lord, I'm going to ask you to stand. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our clipboard is being passed around. In 2 weeks, we're hosting the recipients of the polar bear jump. They raised over 86,000, right, Jamie? 186,000. And they did a great job. And on that day, March the 9th, the recipients come here. They receive the funds as well as we pray for them. And it's a good opportunity to introduce Jesus to some of these families that need Christ. And Jamie and Brenda do a great work with this. And we're glad that we can partner with them and to get the message out there. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And it reads, let's all read it together, okay? Then they called them in again and command them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Father God, we just want to thank you for this day and this time that we can come together. We ask your blessing upon the service and the hearers that are here. We just pray, encourage us in our hearts as we take a stand for Jesus and the hours we're living in. And we thank you for it now in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had to stand up for something that you believed in? Or something that you believe, you had to take a stand, and in taking the stand, you were either ridiculed or made fun of, or you were slighted, handed, or whatever. And when we stand normally on a fact or a conviction or faith, sometimes there's opposition with that, isn't there? There's opposition when you stand up for what is right, when you stand up for what is just. And today, as we look at Acts chapter 4, the Lord dropped on my heart 2 weeks ago that we as a church, we need to stand up for Christ. And in standing up for Christ, we need to take a stand for him. I'm also thinking about the aspects in my own personal life and in your own personal life sometimes when you have to take a stand. I think about the mornings that I'm praying and my cell phone is dinging like crazy and I have to take a stand. I'm not going to look at my cell phone until I'm done praying. Or I'm reading God's word and my cell phone is ringing and I'm saying, no, I got to take a stand. I got to do this. And that's what I'm talking about, taking a stand sometimes against things that are maybe right, but that might be harmful or hurtful to you. If you ever taken a stand before on any issue, you know that it's going to take courage. Our world is polluted with so many images that aren't Christ-like. You don't have to go too far. You can look on your tablets. You can look on your phone. You can look on your computer. Images of this world pollutes and tries to pollute our minds, try to pollute our hearts, try to pollute our spirits, but we need to take a stand against those things. Our lives need to be like Christ. Daily, we need to stand for him in purity and in holiness. I can't let garbage occupy my mind. I can't let garbage occupy my heart. And so we have to be cautious. We have to be careful. When we see evil coming, we need to get out of its way. Don't be so simple and fall in its victimhood. Get out of its way when you see it coming. Even Proverbs tells us that. The wise foresees evil that is coming, but the fools are simple and therein and fall into it. Let's not be simple. Let's be wise. Ask God to give us the wisdom that we need and the entrapments and all the different things that are out there that would try to pollute our minds and pollute our hearts. And you know as well as I know, when you're the weakest, that's when temptation comes the mostest. When you're the weakest, that's when temptation comes the mostest. It comes the most when you are weak. That's what temptation does. And we need to be strong, and we need to take a stand against these things. And the only way we can live a God-honoring life is live a life honoring to him, knowing that he's a part of everything I say, he's a part of everything I do, everywhere I go, everything that I think, everything that I see, he sees and he's there with me each step of the way. So many times Christians think living a happy life is the life that we need to live. But it's not about living a happy life. God doesn't grant us a happy life. He really doesn't. What he grants to us and he wants us to live is a holy life. So we get it all wrong when we think we got to live a happy life. If we're living a happy life, then everything's all right and I'm on the right track and everything's going good. Happiness does not mean what God has for you. But holiness is. God's asking us to live a holy life. He's holy. He's a holy God. And he's asking us to live a holy life. And if we are going to live a holy life, sometimes it's not going to be a happy life. Let's face it. There are some things that you just can't do as a Christian. You know the joy it may bring, and you know the happiness it brings to others, but it's not what God wants for you. And we have to be mindful of that as we walk and as we have a relationship with him and a relationship with one another. In Acts chapter 4, we see this happening again. We see this happening in Paul and Peter's life. I'm sorry, in John and Peter's life, where their faith is being tempted because they have to stand for what is right. They were doing miraculous things. Great things were happening. Peter and John were preaching Christ. They went into the temple to pray. And on the way in the temple, there was a man there that was lame for 38 years. I could not but help think how many times Jesus passed that lame man for the amount of time that he would sit at the temple's gate begging for alms. But this time, on this day in history, Peter and John were walking by the beautiful gate, the gate beautiful, and as they were walking, the beggar asked him, "Do you have any alms for me?" And what was Peter and John's reply? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk in the name of Christ." And what happened to that man who was lame for 38 years? He got up, he started leaping, he started praising God. Something happened in him. Peter and John, they took a stand, and they trusted God's word, and they trusted what God wanted them to do. And we see the evidence of that. But I could not but help think how many days Jesus walked by that gate, and Jesus could have said the same words. But yet it was reserved for that day, at that time, in history, for these two to see the power of God exhibited. So sometimes someone else might pass by something. Somebody else might just push it aside. But yet, today is your day. Today is your time. This is your moment for God to do something through you mighty. And this is your time to allow God to do something great in your heart. Peter and John went on and started teaching in the temple that day, not because of the miracle that took place, but because they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 4. And as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they preached. And as they preached, 5,000 souls got saved that day. 5,000 souls. Where would we put 5,000 souls today if they came to church? We wouldn't have room for them. But yet 5,000 souls got saved that day, 3,000 the other day on the day of Pentecost. Now, a day later, 5,000 souls got saved. And the scripture tells that God added unto the church daily as he seemed proper or what he seemed to be. We see here that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16, or chapter 16, verse 13, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. There's something about when you take a stand for Jesus, you need to be on guard. Because if you're not on guard, the enemy is going to come attacking. He's going to come against you. That's what he does. And you need to stand firm. Even the Apostle Paul said this verbiage in a way to let us know that this is a constant daily battle. It's not something that's going to just take place one time and then be forgotten. It's going to happen every day. We're going to face opposition. We're going to face people. We're going to face places. We're going to be in places where instead of trying to stand up for what's right and for Jesus, they're going to try to have us to back down and not stand and do what's right. Even going back to now, Peter and John, they faced major opposition. Something happened after he preached that day, after 5,000 souls were saved. You know what happened? They came and they arrested Peter and John and they threw them in prison. For the good they did, healing a man who was lame for 38 years, 5,000 souls getting saved and baptized, by the way. I mean, there was a ruckus there. There was a ruckus. And in the midst of all doing that, I'm sure they were getting a lot of pats on the back. But yet, when they came and arrested them and threw them in jail, what went through their heads? What went through their minds? What went through them? Major opposition they were facing. We're going to look at that now in Acts chapter 4. The first thing is this. Peter and John realized something about the full force of faith in their lives. They realized something that a lot of people don't realize. That Jesus is our foundation. He is our foundation. He is our foundation. They realized that. They stood upon that. In Acts chapter 4, we see that Peter and John took a strong stand for Christ in the face of the people in opposition. And even because they were going to be thrown in prison, that didn't destroy their faith. One key reason why Peter and John were able to stand firm in their faith is because Jesus was their foundation. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, the scripture tells us. And he says, rulers and elders, in verses 8, he says, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for our act of kindness, showing to a man who was lame, who are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stand before you healed. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. He went on and he says, he has become the cornerstone, and salvation is found in no other name but in the name of Jesus. You know, it's important to take a stand sometimes when good happens and when right takes place. Sometimes it's good to be the acknowledgement of what God has done in your life and what God has done in your heart. I don't know why I'm preaching this other than I don't know what God has in store for us in the days ahead. You know, I think so many times that people now, they're getting caught up in the groove of great things are happening in America and people are happy, things are happening. But you know what the Bible says? When everyone says peace, peace, beware. Beware. And I'm not trying to be the prophet of doom here. I'm just trying to be the if anyone, if you want to say I'm a prophet, a prophet of common sense. That just because things are going good doesn't mean things are always going to be good. And your eyes got to be on Christ. And if they're not on Christ, you're just not going to survive it. Peter believed that Jesus is his cornerstone. Jesus was everything to Peter. Jesus was his foundation. Jesus is what Peter walked and talked. He did everything in the name of Christ. He knew that salvation was found in no other name. He lived for Christ. He lived for Jesus. Jesus was his foundation. So too should be us. When Jesus is our cornerstone, no matter what we face in life, we have a firm foundation to stand on. We can stand on him. We can stand for him. We can walk in his strength. We can talk in his strength. We can live in his strength. Everything we and do is all about him and not about us. That's the beautiful part of who Jesus is in our lives. If we give him first place, we can stand for him. We really can. We all face troubles. We all face oppositions. There's not one person in this room today that is not going to face trouble, that is not going to face opposition. But we can take a stand when we make Jesus our foundation. He's our cornerstone. He is our foundation. And if the foundation is not solid, if the foundation is not sure, then when troubles come, your foundation, your life will be like sinking sand. But if your life is built upon a rock, a firm foundation, when troubles come and things come your way, you're going to be able to stand. You're not going to sink and you're not going to fall prey to it. Just like Peter and John, we must make Jesus our foundation. He's our cornerstone. We build our lives on him. I say this so many times, and I'll say it again. When they laid the foundation in the temple, when they built the temple, they used one of the hardest stone. They used the stone that was able to withstand the pressure of building that temple. And the stone they used was granite. They used granite. And how many times we take Christ for granted? He's our cornerstone. But how many times we take him for granted? And there are times in our lives that we are going to take him for granted. We just know that God is there with me. He's watching over me. He's walking with me. He's making a way. He's protecting me all along the way. Yeah, sometimes we just take him for granted. But yet, when we know that God does something miraculous in our lives, when he touches us, or heals somebody that we're praying for, or we're able to witness to somebody and they get saved, then we need to take time and give him the praise. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. The second thing that we have to look at as the apostles' lives is this. We have to obey God in the midst of opposition. When opposition comes, we need to obey God. We need to obey God. Peter and John, they obeyed God, didn't they? Facing opposition isn't a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. It's not if we're going to face opposition. It's when we are going to face opposition. Are you with me on this? We have many opportunities to obey or disobey God. It's going to come our way. There's not one person in this room that is exempt from this. Just because you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and you pray to him every day, you read the scriptures every day, you do what you need to do, but yet don't think that is going to exempt you from opposition that's going to come your way. It's going to come your way when you least expect it, when you least know it. It's going to try to trip you up, take you down, drag you down, and drag you all over the ground. Because that's what happens when opposition comes your way. God hasn't called us just to believe. Our faith must be vibrant, active faith that we can live out. And we need to live out our faith. We need to take that step of faith or that leap of faith or that blind faith, just believing that God is going to protect us every way. You know, we just showed the movie Reagan here on Wednesday, 1 o'clock a matinee and 6:30 at night. What a great movie. If you haven't seen the movie, The Reagan, you need to watch it. I mean, so much of faith packed and about a Christian's life is in this movie. But yet there were many accomplishments and many obstacles that our president faced in his life. He was shot at. He was accused of things, and it goes on, and you can read about that. But yet God still used him as a man to lead this nation, to lead this nation. And I think, too, that in the hour that we're living in, God has called you to lead your family. God has called you to lead maybe a place of employment where you're at. Maybe God's called you to do something and lead something. Maybe in the church, a Sunday school class, or a World Ranger, or a missionettes class. God has called you. And if he's called you, you have to allow him to use you in this way. Then again, it says in verse 18 and 20, then again, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach. Boy, you know, it's kind of hard. I heard on the news the other day that there's another epidemic that's going through America right now where people are sick. And they're talking about trying to, maybe thinking about closing down things. No way, Jose, ain't going to happen. And if your name's not Jose, whatever your name is, it's just not going to happen. No way, it's not going to happen. Why? Because we serve a God who can protect us, watch over us. He can do far above what we can even ask or think. Don't let the lies of the enemy. Remember, the enemy only comes in like waves. A wave, you only can be hit by a wave one at a time. I never went into the ocean and got hit by 10 waves at once. You know? No, they just come in one at a time. That's how the enemy works. He comes in one at a time. One at a time. You have some time in between each wave to get strength, to get built up, to get your eyes focused, to get yourself in a position for the next attack. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. When Peter and John stood and obeyed God instead of bowing down to the religious leaders, they even said, and we've all read it, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to what? Him. That's my saying reply. Am I going to listen to you or am I going to listen to him? And I'd rather listen to him because I know what the results are going to be. To stand firm in our faith, we have to do what James tells us. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, do not be hearers of the words, but be doers. We need to be doing, not just hearing. We need to put our feet into our faith. We need to walk. And even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we must keep on walking. We got to keep our eyes upon not this terrain, but the terrain that's way beyond on the other side. My eyes are focused upon him. Like the psalmist says, I look onto the hills, and whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's something about keeping your eyes on Christ, not on the terrain, on this world, and what's happening in this world, but keeping our eyes on God and our focus to be upon him. I found the one main challenge in obeying God in the midst of opposition is that we can wonder what the outcome will be. Sometimes when we obey God, I wonder what the outcome will be. Sometimes the outcome is not the way I want it to be. Sometimes the outcome doesn't work out the way I want it to. But I know in the end, God has a purpose and God has a plan. We know that if God doesn't show up in the way we want him to, this could get real ugly really quick. You know what I mean? It can get really ugly really quick. But we need to believe that God is going to show up. God is going to diffuse the situation. God's going to do something way beyond what we could even ask or think. See, that's experiencing God in your heart and in your life. Being in a situation or in a circumstance where you know there's no way out of this unless God makes a way out of it. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there before? You know, where you just say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I didn't do nothing wrong, Lord. But yeah, I know you're going to make a way. And God just comes in supernaturally, and he makes a way. That's the amazing thing. If that has never happened in your life, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on something. Because I believe that God wants to do it more than what you think. And he wants to sometimes remain anonymous when he does stuff like that. Often we have to battle our flesh and the common sense to stand firm. You know, in that movie with President Reagan, he went to Berlin and he was standing at the Eastern Wall at the Western Gate there in West Berlin. And he gave a powerful speech. And as he was giving that speech, at the end of his speech, he said these famous words. Probably you all know it and you probably can say it to me, with me. Let's see if we can say it in unison. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, that's what he said. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I said take, but tear down this wall. And how many Christians that are here today, you have walls in your life, and God is saying to you through Jesus, hey, whatever your name is, John, tear down the walls. Tear them down. Let me in. God wants to come into your life. He wants to tear down those walls. He wants to break those barriers that you have put up for so long. See, opposition does just not come from the outside, but sometimes the opposition comes from where? On the inside. God's saying, tear down that wall. Tear it down. Let me work it out. Let me do for you what you can't do for yourself. Our flesh tells us to back up and back down. Our flesh says, just don't go with the crowd. Be popular. Just go with the cloud. Be popular. Don't ruffle anybody's feathers. Yeah, I have a hard time with that because I don't have a problem ruffling feathers. Because I know the purpose and the plan that God may have for the situation. But a major part of obeying God is standing firm and trusting God even when it doesn't make sense. You know, that's our major part in obeying God. Sometimes we got to obey him when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says these words. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will what? Direct your paths. Church, sometimes we just got to trust God. We really do. We just got to trust God. We just got to trust God. I remember not too long ago when I was ministering in the jail here, had a person possessed, and the guard says, don't go in there. You don't know what they're going to do to you. And I said, I'm not worried about what they're going to do to me. I'm more worried for them what God's going to do to them. And I went in there in the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus Christ, to cast that demon out of that girl. And God set her free. You know, church, sometimes a little faith can go a long way when you do it with God on your side. And that's what we need to have sometimes. Peter and John trusted God. Peter and John realized something that we need to realize today, that if we're not all in, we're not in. If we're not all in, we're not in. And it's just not knowing about Christ, but it's having him a part of your heart and your life. No matter what the cost may be, God might be calling us to be all in. I remember my senior year in high school when I gave my life to Christ. Jesus radically changed my life. I went from chasing drugs and alcohol to chasing Christ with all my might. You know, when I was a young kid, my parents, you know, I had a drug problem when I was young. And maybe some of you can associate with this. I had a drug problem when I was young. My parents drug me to church. But later on in life, I didn't know if anybody got that. But later on in life, I had another drug problem. Not because my parents drugged me to church, but because I had a problem with drugs. You know, young parents, I'm telling you, let your kids have that problem. Drag them to church. They need to be in church. They need to be in church. They're missing out on the most fundamental truths that can ever be exhibited in the church. Them being in church. Them being a part of church. You know, I don't know what the future is going to look like. But over the years of 35 years pastoring this church, many people have come in and out of this church. And some of you have seen people come in and out. But where are they today? Where are they with their relationship with Christ? That's the thing that I fear. I pray for you every day. If you don't know that, I'm letting you know. I pray for you every day. But I also pray for all those that God brings to my mind that have come through the doors of this church, who have given their heart to Christ, and now have turned around and walked away from God because things just didn't work out the way they wanted to work out. Somewhere along the line in the mechanism of life, they missed the point that all things that are happening in your life are going to work together for your good. God has not called you to fail. He has called you to have faith in him and to look to him and to honor him. God will bring things in your life where then you don't know what's going on, but trust him in the midst of it all. God has done great things in my life, and he has continued to do great things in my life. And the interesting thing, when you stand up for Jesus, people notice. Not because you're making an issue, but because people notice. People notice because of your faith and your love for Christ. Living for Christ isn't always easy. I know it's not. I talk to the teenagers. I'm around them. I see them. I talk to the young ones that are in prison, and they say, oh, I wish I would have known this. I wish I had this teaching when I was a young kid. I said, well, now you got it. What are you going to do with it? The other day, my wife and I, we had to go to the laundromat, and we watched our comforter, and our dryer won't fit in there, so we had to go to a laundromat to do that. And we went to a laundromat on the bottom of Main Street. And as I walked in there, there were those in there that we have ministered to at the Tent City. You know, they don't have a place to live. They don't have a place to go. You know, the city provides them a place to live at Hotel 88 or other places. We give them vouchers so they can live. But if they mess up, if they do wrong, guess what happens? They get kicked out. They don't know where to go. I went to one laundromat and I couldn't use it, so I had to go to another laundromat. And God had a reason why he wanted me to go to the other laundromat. Because these young people were in there, huddling there, trying to stay warm. They didn't have anywhere to go. And they saw him and they go, hey, Pastor Grenier. Now, it's great that people maybe recognize me, but it's good when they recognize me because they're in need. And I was able to go over and talk to them. I had change. I gave him change. I even went in my wallet and gave him some money and not looking for pats on the back. But I want them to know you're not alone. praying for you, praying for you. You know, you never know who God sends across your path. You'll never know. You'll just never know. There's something about living for Christ. When you obey God in the midst of opposition and you stand firm, He is worthy of everything that takes place in your life. Let me go on to the next point if I could. I've given you a lot of examples, but hopefully it's meshing in what I'm saying. We stand for Jesus. He shines through us. When you stand for Jesus, He shines through us. It's powerful to watch what happened when Peter and John stand firm in their faith. Something happens when you stand firm in your faith. Something happens. Something powerful happens. Something happens that you'll never understand. You'll never comprehend. You just never will. Because it's what God does for you. You know, interesting, as you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see Daniel really getting burdened for the nation of Israel. And an angel came to him and shared with him many different things of prophecies, of events that are going to take place, and everything that's happening. And Daniel says, I don't understand these things. I don't understand these things. And the angel says, you're not going to understand them because they're not ready to be revealed. You know, sometimes things happen in our life that it's just not ready to be revealed. It's just not ready to be revealed. You just got to take it by faith, especially when opposition comes, when temptations come. Sometimes we don't understand why these things happen. But because they stood firm in their message, something happened on their behalf. Because they stood firm, many people heard the message of Christ and believed. Many people were snatched out of the kingdom of darkness that day and transferred into the kingdom of light. Because these two men stood firm in their faith in the midst of opposition. And church, I believe as we stand, people see Jesus in us. God will use our boldness to bring people into relationship with Him. These men stood firm in their faith and their numbers grew. And I believe also when we stand firm in our faith, God will use our resolve to do immeasurably more than what we could even ask or even imagine. He can do that. God can do that. That's the beautiful part of who God is. I think my next point is this. When we stand for Jesus, we will also shine through our conversation and words. When we stand for Jesus, He will also shine through our conversation and words. We need to stand firm. We need to pray. We need to believe that the power of God can be released as we live for Him. God wants to build His church. I believe this with all my heart. God wants to build His church. We have to rest in what He says He will do. And we need to trust Him for that. We face circumstances. I know that. Situations are going to come our way. I know we're going to have to choose whether we will stand for Christ. That's going to happen. We're going to have to stand for Him every day, the rest of our lives. We're going to have to make a choice every day. We face circumstances, situations, where we have to choose whether we will stand for Christ. Peter and John and had a reason in the world to be quiet, but he chose not to. And what happened? They were in prison. They were threatened for doing good. But yet, through it all, they still say, are we going to obey you or are we going to obey Him? They didn't say God. They said Him. Why? Because they had a personal relationship with Him. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. He leads us. He guides us. He's there for us. And because He's there for us, He wants to help us in the time of need. Some of you may be here today and you may be wavering in your faith. I don't know where you're at. Worship team's going to come. Some that may be here are wavering in their faith. If that's you, even we heard from our brother, fear not. Fear not. Trust in me. Trust in God. Jesus has overcome the world. And He will also help you overcome whatever you are facing. Interesting, in Scripture, It says that Christ doesn't give us overcoming life, but he gives us life as we overcome. I hope you got that. Christ doesn't give us an overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. And some of us, we just don't want to be an overcomer. We just don't want to give God an opportunity to prove himself. We'd rather just stay where we are, be comfortable. We're not causing any problems. Pastor, don't make my life be turned upside down today. No, it's not me that's turning your life upside down. It's God. It's God. God is saying to this church at this time, come on, wake up. Tear down the walls. Let me do something special in you. Let me do something special for you. Yeah, you're going to have to take a stand. The stand is not what God does for you. It's what you're willing to allow God to come into your heart and your life.